This is the Down East Journal on Public Radio East. I'm Jared Brumbaugh. The series of automatic cuts to government spending called sequestration will total more than $1 trillion in savings over the next 10 years. The expenses of those savings is now beginning to ripple through our area, as L.C. Morris explains.
Government agencies are figuring out how they will begin to cut a total of $85 billion from now through October 1st to comply with the mandated 50-50 split in cuts between defense and domestic discretionary spending.
I am concerned that as we move forward, that we are going to put ourselves in a situation where we cannot control the cuts that will be forthcoming.
Republican Congressman Walter B. Jones represents the 3rd Congressional District, which spans eastern North Carolina from the Outer Banks down to Oslo County. Jones is strongly opposed to ideas laid out in the sequestration order for fiscal year 2013.
I believe in flexibility. I would feel better about this sequestration if every agency had the authority to have more flexibility as to what programs would be cut and what programs would not be cut.
North Carolina will lose $25.4 million in funding for primary and secondary education and an additional $16.8 million for children with disabilities. Also, a major impact will be felt on area military bases as operations statewide will incur massive cutbacks and furloughs. Funding for the Army would be cut by $136 million. Air Force operations would be cut by $5 million. And according to a White House press release, the Navy would see the cancellation of aircraft depot maintenance at Cherry Point.
The military has been prepared for quite a few months of the possibility of sequestration. And I know that I had been to Cherry Point and spoken to the base commander and also visited the depot and got a briefing as to what their concerns might be if this country went into sequestration. It is one of those situations, quite frankly, that we'll probably get a better handle on what is going to happen as we move into April. But again, the military nationally, not only just in eastern North Carolina, they have been preparing for this.
In the process of sequestration, approximately 22,000 civilian North Carolina Department of Defense employees would be furloughed, reducing gross pay by $117.5 million. Nat Fay is the Director of Public Affairs for Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune and Marine Corps Installations East. Fay says department heads at multiple levels are seeking a smooth transition.
We've received notifications from both the Secretary of the Navy and the Commandant to prepare for potential furlough program being implemented. When it'll happen, likely around mid to late April. If it were to happen, we'd receive a 30-day notification so that they could get themselves prepared.
The Commandant has laid out a blueprint.
The combat readiness of our operating forces, you know, taking care of our Marines on the forward edge of our nation's security, those in Afghanistan, and especially those who are preparing to go. And that really is what impacts our installations, because we hold the responsibility of training those Marines.
As furloughs loom, Camp Lejeune is pushing forward.
Do an internal audit. Make a careful evaluation to determine where, you know, expenditures can be reduced or slowed to ensure sufficient funding for the entire fiscal year. We have to keep our Commandant's priorities top on the list, which is ensuring the combat readiness of our operating forces. Everything else is second to that.
At Cherry Point Air Station, furloughs hang in the balance for the Fleet Readiness Center. Specifics now are unknown. While the military takes its hit, surrounding areas will be impacted as well. Jones County Manager Frankie Howard says military presence is a major player in household incomes in Jones County as citizens commute back and forth to Camp Lejeune and Cherry Point. Howard is awaiting final numbers from Washington to see how sequestration will affect his county's budget.
We haven't had clear understanding yet of what the local impact is going to be to our budget, but we do receive federal pass-through dollars for certain programs in the Department of Social Services and our senior center through the aging programs. We are expecting an impact in those programs.
Jones County Superintendent Michael T. Bracey is keeping a watchful eye on programs to be downsized or eliminated, especially those affecting public schools. Ellis Williford, the Wilson County manager, says their primary concern to keep funded is health and social services.
And that will primarily be entitlement funds like food stamps or Medicaid, plus any pass-through monies such as WIC or foster care or daycare funds. We won't know until it goes to the state and the state advises us how much will actually be sequestered by the state or how much they will absorb and then not pass cuts along to us. So for the next several weeks, we're waiting to see how we'll be notified of what the effects will be.
With the average state unemployment rate at 9.7%, some eastern North Carolina counties are struggling with almost double the rate. Edgecombe County's unemployment rate is a whopping 15%. With no military presence in the rural area, County Manager Lorenzo Carmen says he's not quite sure what impact the sequester will have on his county.
There's a whole lot of unknowns that are in there. We have contracts, agreements, funding approvals from the state and federal governments, and we have not been notified that any of those things need to be changed or modified. So it's kind of almost like barring trouble trying to figure out what it is going to mean to us at the end of the day.
Also playing out in sequester, Medicare changes. According to the North Carolina Hospital Association, federal cuts in Medicare reimbursements will cost North Carolina's healthcare systems $1.3 billion over the next decade. April 1st is when the big picture will play out on smaller, more local stages. Congressman Walter B. Jones says the problem with sequestration is that the across-the-board cuts are disproportionately focused on the military.
They were supposed to come out with a plan to reduce the debt and the deficit of our country. In that legislation was the word sequestration. And if these 12 people could not come out with a legislative plan to reduce the government spending, then we would go into automatic sequestration.
Congressman G.K. Butterfield this week sent a letter to the Federal Aviation Administration urging to stop sequestration at the Kinston Regional Jetport and the Coastal Carolina Regional Airport in New Bern. If the FAA contract tower program is canceled, the towers would be unstaffed, meaning no air traffic controllers. For a list of programs affected by sequestration, log on to publicradioeast.org. I'm L.C. Morris.
This is the Down East Journal here at Public Radio East. I'm Jared Brumbaugh in the studio with George Olson, and this is the Spring Membership Drive.
And a pledge in any amount makes you a member here at Public Radio East. What these fund drives are all about, very simple. It's a bottom line proposition. We're just raising the necessary funds we need to continue great journalism that you get on the Down East Journal, great classical music that you enjoy on 89.3, weekend favorites like Car Talk and Prairie Home Companion. These pledge drives pay for those programs. So if you're a fan of these programs, want to make sure they continue, well, over 50% of the funds we use to keep them on the air come from folks just like you. So your pledge is vital to make sure you have this great mix of programs here in Eastern North Carolina. Your pledge in any amount makes you a member. Pledge online today at publicradioeast.org.
When you make that pledge of, say, $100, you can pick up the PRE member card that's good for two-for-one dining opportunities at restaurants all across Eastern North Carolina and around the nation. It's also good for two-for-one green fees. Make that pledge this afternoon at publicradioeast.org. Make that pledge of $100 and pick up the PRE member card.
Again, pledge online at publicradioeast.org. And again, the fund drives, we're just asking you pledge whatever is comfortable to you. You just look at the time you spend with this radio station, look at your own financial situation, pledge accordingly. If you can make that $100 member card pledge, that makes you a member in good standing. But if $25 or $40 is something that's more comfortable to you right now, that makes you a member as well. So you set the price on membership, but you know what you're getting in return for your membership dollars because you spent the last several months listening to programs like the Down East Journal, like the Diane Rehm Show, like our classical music. That's what your pledge pays for. So you know exactly what you're getting in return for your investment. You're getting great programming that you use each and every day here on Public Radio East. So pledge online now at publicradioeast.org.
And when you want to know more about the issues affecting Eastern North Carolina specifically, you know you can turn to the Down East Journal. You know that when you listen, you're going to hear dialogue with local, state, and military officials. You're going to get more than just a headline. You're going to get the entire story from beginning to end. And your pledge makes this in-depth local feature reporting possible. We're asking that you do what you can right now to support this local news program. Give online at publicradioeast.org. Hey, if you appreciate the service, then pledge your support right now.
Again, pledge online at publicradioeast.org. Your pledge is the fuel we use to keep this station burning. So pledge online today at publicradioeast.org, and thank you.
From time to time, we like to highlight achievements by members of the Public Radio East community. Today, we spotlight Vivian Howard, the chef at Chef and the Farmer in Kinston. She's one of 20 remaining chefs from around the country still vying for the prestigious James Beard Award for the Best Southeast Chef of 2013.
Every year, we award what are considered the Oscars of the food industry to the best chefs, restaurants, and media in the country.
That's president of the James Beard Foundation, Susan Ungaro. She says the foundation has been presenting the Best Chef Award for more than 25 years to the top chefs in the country.
For Vivian, this is the second time that she's been named a semifinalist.
Chef Vivian says she was shocked to find out she was selected as a semifinalist.
Well, I was in a meeting and my phone started blowing up with texts. just other chefs that I know and people in the business telling me congratulations. When I got out of the meeting, I went online to check. Generally, they tell you what the date's going to be when they are going to announce them, but I didn't know what the date was this year, so it was truly a very big surprise.
Between October and December each year, there's a call for entries where anyone can nominate their favorite restaurant or chef for an award. This year, Ungaro says there were 44,000 entries.
That list goes to our Restaurant and Chef Awards Committee, which consists really of, you know, the most prestigious journalists who cover the restaurant industry in America. And that list also becomes a semifinalist list.
A group of about 500 judges made up of past James Beard Award winners will narrow down the semifinalists to just five nominees. Those winners will be announced on Monday, March 18th. While Vivian is grateful for the accolades, she doesn't let that get in the way of her passion for cooking, which began in her 20s. Vivian Howard grew up in Deep Run on a tobacco and hog farm. She later moved to New York City to find a career and settle down. It was there she was exposed to different cultures and food traditions.
I was working in advertising, and I spent all of my extra dollars on eating out in the city and really wanted to be a part of the restaurant world.
Vivian started working as a server in a restaurant. She even volunteered her time in the kitchen to see if cooking was something she wanted to pursue as a career.
I really enjoyed it. So, I did go to a program in New York at ICE, Institute of Culinary Education, but I would say that I've learned most of what I know on the job.
After operating a small catering business in Harlem for only a couple months, Vivian and her husband, Ben Knight, decided to relocate to Eastern North Carolina in 2004. They lived in Pleasant Hill in Alamance County with a dream of one day opening a restaurant somewhere in Eastern North Carolina. They considered Wilmington, Greenville, and New Bern before deciding to locate their business in a building that was a century-old mule stable in downtown Kinston. In 2006, Chef and the Farmer opened.
We are a farm-to-fork restaurant that specializes in reinventing traditional Southern cuisine using local and seasonal ingredients.
That's Vivian's husband, Ben Knight.
Never really expected to have kind of recognition that we have received having a little restaurant in Kinston, and we just are so thrilled to be in the same company as some of the other folks that have been nominated this year.
Chef and the Farmer has received numerous awards, ranking among the top 100 restaurants in the U.S. in a list by OpenTable in 2011. The restaurant was selected for Wine Spectator's Award of Excellence in 2009, and in 2011, Chef and the Farmer received the Silver Medal Award from the News and Observer. Vivian was also a semifinalist in the James Beard Award for Best Chef in the Southeast in 2011. President of the James Beard Foundation, Susan Ungaro, points out that Vivian's creative use of locally grown in-season ingredients make her cuisine stand out.
James Beard, over 50 years ago, was the one to talk about cooking with regional ingredients, way before farm-to-table movement became such an important trend and an important way of dining and way of eating in this country. So, you know, one thing that I think she should be applauded for is her farm-to-table restaurant and business.
The 20 semifinalists for the James Beard Award for Best Southeast Chef will be reduced to just 5 nominees during a live event on Monday in Charleston. The winner will be announced on Monday, May 6th, at the Avery Fisher Hall at Lincoln Center in New York City. The winner will receive a medallion and the title of Best Southeast Chef. Jared Brumbaugh, Public Radio East.
This is the Downeast Journal on PRE, Public Radio East. I'm George Olson. Jared Brumbaugh is with me, and we are in the midst of our spring fund drive here at Public Radio East. Just heard that interesting story on Vivian Howard, a nominee for the Best Southeast Chef in the prestigious James Beard Awards. Perhaps you've eaten at the Chef of the Farmer, where Vivian Howard is working at, you know, the great food they have to offer, and you know, there's a price that's paid to make sure you have continued access to that great food. To some degree, these fund drives are basically the same thing. You know what's on the Public Radio East menu. It's great news programming like the Downeast Journal or great weekend favorites like Car Talk and A Prairie Home Companion. We've got to cover those with a cost. And a great thing about membership at Public Radio East is you set the cost on the programming you use each and every day. So if you haven't made your pledge as of yet, go online to publicradioeast.org. A pledge in any amount makes you a member here at Public Radio East.
But may I suggest a pledge of $100 or more? You can pick up that PRE member card. It's good for 2-for-1 dining at restaurants across eastern North Carolina, including Chef and the Farmer, actually. You can go there, sample some of the eastern North Carolina cuisine, but also do your part to support Public Radio East, public radio for eastern North Carolina. Make that pledge this afternoon, $100 or more, and pick up the PRE member card. Make that pledge at publicradioeast.org.
Again, pledge online at publicradioeast.org. The Public Radio East member card, again, affords you 2-for-1 dining at many restaurants in eastern North Carolina. Use that card once a month for the next 12 months. You'll pretty much get back in savings what you spent on your usage of Public Radio East. So it's a great deal all the way around. You get to sample some great food throughout eastern North Carolina at reduced cost, all the same time supporting great music programming, great news programming here on Public Radio East. So consider making that $100 member card pledge, and then go ahead and do it, because it's, you know, really, like I said, a great deal all the way around supporting great programming here on Public Radio East while getting some great deals on some great food in eastern North Carolina. Become a member at the Public Radio East website. So you can go to publicradioeast.org, make a $100 pledge, become a member.
Listeners are the single largest source of funding here at Public Radio East. It's your dollars, your pledges that make the programming that you hear on the Downeast Journal possible. Make your pledge this afternoon. Go online at publicradioeast.org, and thank you.
This is Ann Edwards, Horticulture Extension Agent, with this week's entry in the Garden Journal. Well, there's no doubt that spring is on the way this week. Having changed the clocks back, I have hours of daylight after I get home, and that's wonderful in the garden. It's also given me a chance to notice all the lawn weeds that I have. Lawn weeds don't bother me. I simply mow whatever's growing and let it go at that. But I know that there are a number of you who are concerned about weeds in your lawn and want to know what to do about them. First of all, the most important thing for managing weeds is to have a strong, healthy stand of grass. To do that, you need to know what kind of grass you have and then very carefully follow a management scheme designed for that particular grass. Each grass has different mowing height needs and fertilizer needs. This is especially important with our warm season grasses that we grow here on the coast. For example, centipede lawns don't want much nitrogen fertilizer. 5 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet once a year in late May or early June is all that a centipede lawn would want. On the other hand, if you have Bermuda grass, you're going to be fertilizing 3 or 4 times a summer. So the first thing to do is figure out what grass you have, and then you can go to the website turffiles.ncsu.edu and look up the management guide for your particular grass. Another thing to remember as we get into the mowing season is that you should never cut more than one-third of your grass blade in any one mowing, or the grass will weaken. But what to do about those weeds that are there? If you want to use weed control products, keep in mind that there are two different types. There are pre-emergents. They work by preventing new seeds from getting established in the lawn. However, they also will inhibit the establishment of any grass seeds, and they can slow down or reduce the effectiveness of new roots trying to grow in your existing grass. So pre-emergents are good when they are used to prevent weed seeds from germinating in very strong, healthy grass stands. But if you have a weak grass stand or you're trying to get your grass to move into bare areas, then a pre-emergent will inhibit that process. It's also too late this year to use a pre-emergent for spring weeds. If you're going to use a post-emergent herbicide, that is, an herbicide that kills weeds that are already growing, remember that most of them are most effective when weeds are young and strong growing. So now might be the best time. You want to make sure to read the entire label of whatever herbicide you're going to use and see two things. First, that it controls the weed you want to control, and second, that it specifically says it's safe for the grass that you have in your lawn. Only when those two things are clear on the label should you consider using an herbicide. There's a lot to consider when putting an herbicide on your lawn. Our warm season grasses at the coast won't start growing really well until probably sometime in May. You want to wait till you've mowed your grass twice. And I mean mowing the grass, not the weeds, before you apply any fertilizer. All right, that gives you a start for this year's early lawn care. Make sure you know what grass you have and what weed you have before you go forward. And I'll talk to you in next week's entry in the Garden Journal.
You're listening to the Down East Journal on Public Radio East. I'm Jared Brumba, along with George Olson, asking you to make your pledge this afternoon in any amount. You can go online, publicradioeast.org.
Ann Edwards and the Garden Journal, you've been listening to that for multiple years here on the Down East Journal. Some great tips to help your garden grow. And any of the gardeners in eastern North Carolina know that to make sure you've had a good garden. It takes a little bit of maintenance. You don't just throw the seeds out there and walk away and come back and boom, there it is. With Public Radio East, it's pretty much the same thing. There's a lot of maintenance involved in keeping this radio station operating. So many incidentals from just electricity costs to various equipment repairs that are in the audio chain to get our signal from here to there. And we pay for this primarily through individual listener contributions from folks like you. And that's what these fund drives are all about. Just make sure we get the funds on hand so that we can pay for the maintenance that's involved and keeping this program in your home, office, or car. So if you appreciate having access to informative modules like the Garden Journal here on the Down East Journal, your pledge is what makes it happen. So pledge online today at publicradioeast.org and help this radio garden continue to grow.
Maybe in the last month you've tuned into the Down East Journal. Well, you've heard stories about the revitalization of the Five Points area in downtown New Bern. We also heard about puppy mills, which is a big problem for eastern North Carolina right now. We had a report on what the state is doing to put an end to puppy mills. And we also spoke with the North Carolina Insurance Commissioner about homeowners' insurance rate increases that are going into effect July 1st. You know, that's just a snippet of the news and information that you get when you listen to the Down East Journal. Since you've been listening, you've come to expect and rely on us to bring you these in-depth feature reports from around our region. Please understand, for us to continue to bring you this news and information that you've come to rely on, it takes money. It takes your pledge right now at publicradioeast.org. We're just asking you to do your part.
It's an expensive proposition to get these programs to you, but for you, it's as expensive as you want it to be. You put the price on your use of Public Radio East. If you make that $100 pledge to Public Radio East, you'll pick up the Public Radio East member card that affords you 2-for-1 dining at many restaurants in eastern North Carolina, also 2-for-1 green fees at a lot of the golf courses in the area. But if $25 or $40 is something that's more comfortable to you, that makes you a member in good standing as well. All those donations from literally thousands of people is what makes this radio station strong. So make a pledge in any amount and help us keep these great programs on the air during the spring fund drive. Pledge online today at publicradioeast.org. And no matter the size of your pledge, thank you so much for becoming a member here at Public Radio East.
Thank you.
Love Public Radio East. Listen every day. Benjamin Knight, General Manager at Chef and the Farmer, Kinston. We have such a crossover in the folks that value supporting local farmers and using seasonal foods. For folks that have membership cards, keep them in your wallet. Make sure that you have your list of participating businesses with you, and there are great offers on there. Each year we seem to get more folks bringing the card in. We offer a buy one, get one free entree. You know, folks are really excited about an offer like that. You know, the more you give, the more you get back.